Hello, everyone. Welcome back again. We are in season 4. Last week, if you missed out, please, you missed out my exciting voice for last week. Mm-hmm. So don't dip me for today, okay? So just welcome in. I am your host, Candace. I am with Dr. Joe. We are here to continue last week's topic, which is editing, the power of choice. So be sure, if you did not listen, if you were not able to tune in, Go back and listen to last week so that you can really, because it's a continuation. We're now going back. We're now talking over the questions that we had. We're just going straight into the next phase, all right? Editing. We spoke about your life is a script, right? But however, you also have the power to edit parts of that script that has been given unto you. So you have power. That is the whole takeaway for last week. You absolutely have power.
Absolutely.
Don't just sit and expect the script to just roll on. You have power to do something. And so, Dr. Joe, I'll give it to you if you want to give us a little rundown about the whole discussion of last week.
Yes, Dr. Candace, thank you so much for hosting us today on Hour of Healing. Audience, welcome back to episode 2 of season 4. God has been very gracious to us, and we are excited about what He will be doing in our lives and through our lives in the year 2026. But Sister Candace, in a nutshell, what I would say about our conversation last week, as you rightly said, we talked about editing and the fact that life is a script. But editing really isn't about erasing mistakes. Rather, when we talk about editing, it's about revising life with intentionality and revising forward. It's not about going back to fix mistakes, but rather editing forward. And so that's really kind of the nutshell of what we talked about last week. And I believe our audience will be blessed to be able to take a listen to the entire conversation, because I truly believe it was a very powerful conversation.
Yeah, I believe so too. It was very powerful. And I learned a lot from last week. And I think last week we ended off talking about, you know, someone not knowing where to start, right?
Correct.
And so we want to piggyback on that same line of where we were going. I believe that there is a right way to do everything, right?
Correct.
And it's not just about doing something. It's about doing it the right way. And so I want you to talk about how to edit.
Absolutely.
Right. How do we edit this script that has been given to us? Is there seasons to this editing, or is just, you know, just whenever you want, wherever you want, however you want, you just go right into it? So I want us to dive into that and see where this conversation can take us.
Yes. Thank you so much, Sister Candace. And that is very powerful. Yes, there is a right way to do things. And also knowing when to actually do things is very important. So I like the fact that you brought up the idea of seasons. I will employ our audience to go back to season 3 when we talked about number your days. We talked about the seasons of life. Mm-hmm. Because at each season of your life, you ought to know where you have to be in order to really be able to edit. So I really appreciate the fact that you brought up seasons. And just as an overview or as a quick summary, we talked about the fact that life is broken into phases and seasons. I believe in season 1 or 2, we talked about the seasons of life. And we talked about the fact that clocks don't manage our life. Calendars don't manage our life. Seasons, rather, are what manages our life, because God works in times and in seasons, not in clocks, in dates, or in calendars. All right. And so you realize that each phase of your life has specific things. And this year, Sister Candace, one of the topics we will be talking about is good afternoon, focusing or zeroing in on the afternoon phase of our life. And we will talk, there are things that God helped me to understand about that phase of life, because that's truly the phase that I'm in. Okay. And so we will be talking in depth about that, and it's going to be very powerful. But how do we edit life? That is the question. Knowing that you have to edit life is one thing, but knowing how, it's a whole new thing. So we will try our best, Sister Candace, to give some simple steps or some simple questions that individuals can ask in order to be able to edit life. So one of the first steps in editing life is understanding the principle of discipline. Understanding the principle of discipline. And Sister Candace, this is very important, because whenever you have to edit, that means that you may have to cut out certain things. And cutting out anything hurts. It doesn't matter what anyone tells you. Ending bad relationships, even though you know it's a bad relationship for you, still hurts.
Right.
Ending or changing jobs, no matter how bad the job is, when you don't have the security of a new job, hurts. So you need discipline to be able to edit life. Taking out any part of your life can sometimes feel like rejection. But and if it feels like rejection, it is going to hurt. It is going to be difficult. You need discipline to be able to know that cutting out certain things is not about rejection, but rather focus. Cutting out certain things in life is not about rejection, but rather pruning. Pruning makes better. Rejection brings down. So you need discipline to understand these principles. Mr. Candace, one of the things that I find to be difficult to do whenever we want to edit the script of life is being able to recognize that the previous commitments that we had in our lives that were good for us sometimes can become energy draining at a different phase of our life. The things that brought satisfaction or fulfillment in one phase of life can become an energy draining thing in another phase of life. So, and if you don't have discipline, Sister Candace, you will not recognize this. And even when you recognize it, without discipline, you will not root it out of the script. And so some of us are living life with so many erroneous sentences in our life script. Some of us are living life with so many erroneous events in the script of our life. And so the question you ask yourself is, what are people reading in this life of mine? Without discipline, Sister Candace, this becomes an impossible task. Editing is not easy, but discipline will get you there.
Wow. Wow. That's very powerful. And, you know, it takes my mind back to the narrow road. You know, you need to be disciplined in order to squeeze yourself in that little, you know, path that aligns with your purpose, aligns with where you need to go. Because I think when it comes to discipline, when we make the choice to discipline our life or to live in that space of mindset that I am disciplined. I will not do this because everybody's doing it. I may not go here because this and that. I'm going to bed at this time, blah, blah, blah. You know, it goes against a lot of societal norms.
Absolutely.
Disciplining your life. But the reward is much greater. So that's a very powerful point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Sister Candace, talking about the narrow road and discipline, next week, we will have Dr. Pantapatu, who is actually my mentor when I was in residency, and he'll be joining us next week. And our topic is the principles of self-examination. And so he'll be helping us talk about examining ourselves, which I believe will touch more on what you just said about the narrow road and things of that nature. And I really already believe it's going to be a very powerful conversation. So I can't wait for next week when we meet with him to have that conversation. But the next step that I want to talk about on how you edit life is that we need to be able to work to center our life around purpose rather than productivity. Because, Sister Candace, in part one, you asked a question about the fact that we have a master script writer, the master author of our life being God. And so I believe you were asking us that could there be a time where someone is editing a whole new story other than what the master author had written? Mm-hmm. And this is where productivity and purpose come in. Mm-hmm. Because you will realize that productivity is not necessarily wrong. In fact, productivity is how we are rewarded in this life. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy to center our life on productivity. Mm-hmm. But whereas productivity is not wrong, when you are being productive outside of your purpose, you are in error. And so for you to be able to edit your life appropriately, you must center your life around your purpose. And by centering your life around purpose, you are able to become productive. Because at the end of the day, Sister Candace, purpose is what gives value to productivity. Mm-hmm. And so if we are productive without purpose, then there is no value in what we are being productive for. Yes, we can get rewarded, but at the end of the day, at what cost? All right. So we have to center our life around purpose. And I said work to center your life because it takes work. What will people say about you at this stage of your life? Because again, this, it will interest you to know that whenever we are worried or interested in what people are saying about our life in the past, we are focusing on productivity. Because in productivity, we want people to focus on what we have done in order to reward us. With purpose, it's not about what you have done. It's about what you are doing. And so whenever we are focused on anything that we have accomplished, whether good or bad, we are not truly focusing on purpose. Because purpose is what drives us forward. Productivity is what gives us reward now. And so what will people say about me at this stage is truly what centering life around purpose is about. And Sister Candace, without going deeper into this, I want our audience to understand that living life with purpose is costly. I wish I can say it in a nice way, but truly, if you don't count the cost for the script of your life before you do anything, Sister Candace, you will end up being indebted to life. And that is where the satisfaction comes in. And so count the cost before you delete any sentence or phrase from the script of life. You're going to count the cost. Know the purpose. Because purpose, it's expensive. It's a very expensive commodity, Sister Candace.
Wow. And, you know, I really like that because I believe sometimes we get zapped into this, like, this loop where it's like, I'm busy, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But where is that leading you, you know?
Busy so for nothing, they say.
Right. Busybody for nothing. But it speaks about what you just said because, you know, being productive without it being tied to your purpose is kind of like you're wasting time, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like the part where you said it's like you become indebted to life, right? And, you know, I was thinking about how, you know, you get debts with credit cards, right? But in this way, it's with time, right? It's like you lose time.
Absolutely.
And you need to buy back time by coming back to the drawing board, right? So that was very powerful as to where we need to focus what we are doing and when we are doing it so that people can see that it's going towards something that is beneficial to our purpose. But yeah, that's very good.
Yeah, and second, it's actually interesting that you bring in time, right? Because if we even want to talk about time, I mean, we may spend all night talking about time. But I believe in season 3, we talked about the fact that in life, no matter how great or small you are, no matter how rich or poor you are, the one common denominator that everybody has is this issue of time. That yeah. no matter where you come from, where you are, what you grew up with, your environment, as we talked about last week, time is the neutralizer. Mm-hmm. And so everything you do has to do with this thing called time. And mm-hmm. so when you become indebted to life, yes, absolutely, you are indebted to life because you've wasted time. But yeah. let's not forget about the resources you've wasted and the opportunities and mm-hmm. the number of people whose becoming depends on what you should have done 10 years ago mm-hmm. if you had edited your life appropriately. Mm-hmm. So don't underestimate what we are talking about today.
Yeah.
Your ability to edit your life appropriately directly ties in to somebody else being able to master their script. And right. we will talk about that in a few minutes.
And before we move on into the next one, you know, I'm just thinking of, to myself right now about how people make these statements about just live life, right? And that whole mindset of live life to the fullest. With what we are discussing today, it got me thinking, to what end, right? To what end? And no one is saying don't live life. No one is saying, but there's like this theme or this trend of live life, just live life. And so with that mindset, people tend to go off script. People tend to, you know, get into the space of, I need to do what I need to do for myself now, when it's not really benefiting anything.
Absolutely.
For themselves.
Absolutely.
Or for future, for their future. So I just wanted to bring that in because this is something that's like a societal issue. You know, just live life. You only have one life to live.
Yes.
But we have to be mindful that even living life has to be to an end, like to a certain.
Absolutely.
Till, beneficial to something that is for, you know, you can't just live life and then it I don't even know.
And just live.
And just live. And just, so it's like this life, this script that has been, everything is so purposeful. Everything is so Absolutely. Intentional. And so we must live our life with intentionality. And I can't stress on that enough. For somebody, the way you want to live life might be different from me.
Exactly. Right?
But then we want to get into this plural mindset. You know, you go hiking to live life, so... If someone is not going hiking, they're not living life, right? If you're not getting drunk at 3 a.m., you're not living life. Like, live a little, you know, live a little, Dr. Joe. Live a little, you know. You hear these statements because they're not in that mindset that is trending. But someone else may be living life, but towards your purpose, right?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to bring that in.
Yes, thank you so much for chipping that in, Sister Candace. And as you were talking, I'm debating in my mind where to even fit that. Because, you know, a part of it has to do with the indiscipline that we talked about. Because we tend to explain life rather than lament the errors of life. And I will explain this for our audience. Because When we talk about explaining the hurts or the losses of life, we are trying to excuse or find a reason for not doing what should have been done. Whenever we talk about lamenting is a faithful response to brokenness. And sometimes we don't want to allow ourselves to be broken. And so we explain things away rather than lamenting them so that we can get to the place of healing.
Right.
That is where things like Hour of Healing comes in.
Right.
It's to draw you to lament on the errors.
The losses.
Yes. And then be able to heal from that brokenness. Because if you don't get to this place of recognizing it, and it takes faithfulness, honestly, it takes discipline to do that.
Right.
Because if you don't, you will keep explaining the losses of life away by making statements such as live life and attribute those to superficial things, when truly getting drunk at 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. or having three girlfriends or whatever it is that you are defining as living life, right, is truly not editing the script.
No.
All right. And so I just wanted to add that to what you were saying, that what you're saying is so, so true. But I think sometimes indiscipline has something to do with it, and also not centering our life around our purpose. And so we don't have that intentionality there. But I want to talk about one or two things more. And one that I will talk about is knowing your role. And I think that ties into what you were saying, because sometimes, Sister Candace, we don't really know who we are in the script of our lives.
Okay.
We think that we are just part of the script. But mm-hmm. No, you are the main character in the script.
True.
You are the hero or the villain or whatever the main character is.
Whichever one.
That's you in the script.
Wow.
The script of your life is centered around you.
Wow.
It's not centered around anyone else.
Wow.
God wrote your manuscript with you as the centerpiece. And Sister Candace, this is very important for us to understand, because when we understand this, then we are able to realize or ask ourselves, what story am I telling people about me? If you don't know, or if you don't recognize through editing that you are the main character in this script, you will let people read what is not written.
They will see something else.
Absolutely. They will see what is not there.
Right.
Because what they are seeing appears to be the script that is not being edited. So they will read what is not written. You are, and I can't overemphasize this enough, Sister Candace, and this is so passionate to me, because herein lies, in part, the issue of identity. Herein lies, in part, the issue of not belonging, not finding our place in this life, thinking that our life doesn't have a purpose, thinking that we are an accident, thinking that there is no rhyme or reason why we came to be. No, you are a major character to a story.
Right, right.
And for those of you who are into movies and things like that, every major character has issues that they have to deal with. And so when we are dealing with these issues, it doesn't make us wrong. It doesn't put us out of context. It doesn't mean that we don't belong. No, we deal with these issues because we are the major characters.
Right.
The plot is centered around you and me.
Right, right.
What are some of the issues that, Sister Candace, we deal with? We deal with issues of fear and courage. We deal with issues of service and control. We deal with issues of weakness, brokenness, we just talked about that, and healing. Right. We deal with issues of submission. These are all because we are the major character in the story. You can't ignore this. Please, I beg of you, understand that you are the major character in the script that you are editing.
Right.
Don't try to put your mother there. Don't try to put your husband there. Don't try to put your work there. I don't want us to spend too much time today, but some people, the major character in the scripts of our lives have become our work.
Yeah.
And so we will do everything to prosper the work and fail ourselves.
This is
so, so crucial.
Right, right. And, you know, I love, 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 love when you made this statement that don't try to put anybody there. Because when I was listening to you speak, all I can think about is that people is just who we've positioned people in our life as if they are the main characters.
Exactly.
You know, we are not saying that someone meaning a lot to you or being important to you, you know, that you being the main character erases that. That's not what we are saying. you know, people are, you have family, you have children, you have spouses, they can be held in a certain esteem in your life, but you still has to maintain the essence of you being the main character. And, you know, I was just thinking in line of how we grow up or we walk around wondering where to fit in. Where do I fit in? Where do I, when the narrative should be shifted or switched? How do people fit in this story?
Exactly.
In my story. You know, so you, and I think this is so profound and this is very powerful because it gives you a perspective where you tend to choose people that come into your life and stay in your life.
Exactly.
Because you are walking around looking for people that fit your story, that fits your script. You're not getting closer to people to fit their story. And we are not saying don't serve others, but at the end of the day, you being the main character, when you watch movies, the main characters, everything and anything they do is all, call us selfish, but it's all centered around their purpose. And this is how I believe one of the systems of God work is that you go out looking for people that fit your story and people go out looking for others that fit their story. And you could fit somebody's story in a certain light.
Yes.
But you will not be the main character or take over.
Never.
Or control. You're just a small piece of somebody else's script, right? But then they also have to serve somebody else, or you, they also have to be a piece in yours, right?
Mm.
When we work or when we understand this, I believe that life is like hand go home, hand comes.
Absolutely.
Right? Because of a reciprocated relationship. Maybe I'm giving you something that you may not be the one to give it to me, but someone else has to give that to me to fit my story or to
Absolutely.
Fit in my script. But hone in on that, you know, take over, take control. And I think that's so powerful because you hear it all the time, you know, I want to fit in and I want to do this. And this is what how trends carry along, because we all want to fit in, wear the same clothes, do the same hairstyle. And I'm not saying this for teenagers. You have grown men and grown women, you know, trying to fit in. And where are you trying to fit? This is your story.
Exactly. That story is about you.
Why are you trying? Why are you?
And Sakendis, sometimes we misappropriate so many things. You know, we have said, and it's been said many times, that no man is an island.
Right.
And sometimes we think that means just go about. And I like something you really said, that knowing your role in the script of your life gives you the power to choose who comes in and who goes out. Mm-hmm. I think end of last season, I talked about the fact that I had read something that friends are the family you choose. And this is the power of editing. Yep. You edit who fits in your story.
Yes.
But Sister Candice, before we even go on, I don't want someone to hear this and then just blow it out of proportion and take this out of context, because there are people who are not editing their life script. They are writing a whole new story. And they are putting people in there. And so they will say that, oh, they said that everybody has to fit in my story. And so they will not reverse their ways to be able to find the actual script. So let me talk about the next point so that there is a balance. And the balance to this, knowing your role, is establish the right hierarchy or order. That is the balance. It's always God, you, and others. God, you, and others. That is the right hierarchy. The very moment you put yourself in front of God or before God, you have become the chief author. And at that moment, you are no longer the editor of your life story.
No.
The very moment you let people come before you, you are placing someone, like we just said, Sister Candice, as the main character to your story.
You have to fit in.
And you are lost because it's your story, but we can't find you in there.
Right.
But I think there are subtle areas in our lives, Sister Candice, that this has very dire consequences. Because Establishing the right hierarchy will help you understand how words should sound in your story. One of the key things about the role of an editor is to bring about clarity rather than critique for control. If you are an editor, you are not controlling the script. You are bringing clarity to the script. And that is really where voices come in. That's Sister Candace, without the right hierarchy, we will begin to let words become punitive rather than compassion. Words will begin to bring a shame rather than conviction. When you misappropriate this hierarchy, you lose the place of who can speak truth in your story. So we edit life knowing that we are stewards of the story that God is already writing. We are not the ones writing the story.
No, we're just editing.
We are just editing it. Again, the goal is not for control or perfection. I talked about this last week. Some people, because of the wrong hierarchy, are reinventing their life stories. Because we are looking for perfection. But how do you perfect what you did not create? You can't. And how do you perfect what you are letting someone take your role in?
You don't have control.
You don't. So our role is to bring clarity to the story that God is writing. So how does this look? When someone see you walk in your purpose, they begin to see the beauty with which God made your story. And that only happens when the right hierarchy is in place. Sister Candace, the truth is, there are people in life who, because of a misplaced hierarchy in this script of life, they don't have anyone who can truly speak truth in their life story. But my question for such a person is this: how do you know that you are erring? How do you know that the place that you are deleting or the sentence that you are deleting makes the story makes more sense? The power of editing, Sister Candace.
That's very powerful. That's very powerful. And, you know, with the hierarchy that you you alluded to, I was thinking to myself, you know, in hindsight, I think God has made things in such a way that somehow, aside from him, we must be selfish in some shape or form. And we don't want to accept that. You know, we don't want to accept that there has, in order for you, us to get to where God wants us to get to, there has to be a level of selfishness at play in our life. And it goes back to the hierarchy thing that you talked about, because God came, I came, and then others came. Right? But we want to give people a fuss when they center things on yourself or when they want to play the role of being the main character. That's I'm the main character. Without me, you, your role doesn't exist because it's my story, right? So to think about it in a, you know, to bring it into our life or reality, I think that's one of the things that we struggle with. And so when we are taking that role too much, we check ourselves and come back into trying to fit in or trying to fit into somebody else's story, because we don't want to appear as selfish. And, you know, you don't want to hear that. You don't want people to tell you that. It's a truth that we don't want to accept. But somehow, some way, it's part of our role, I should say. And I don't think in the intentions of God, he put negative connotations around selfishness. But it has become so because of how others may have abused it, right?
And Sister Candace, that is one of the issues that we always have to be mindful of, right? I will not use the word selfish necessarily, that outside God, we are very self-dependent.
Okay.
Right. And the reason why selfishness has become or has such a negative connotation is because the things that ought to flow from God to us, when we become self-aware or self-dependent, we tend to also cut ties with the flow of things that ought to come from God to us. And so if I am not receiving, or if my interaction with God is not existent, then everything I do to others, I don't care about it. Mm. But for what you are saying to work, for our selfishness to work for our benefit and the benefit of everyone, mm-hmm. it has to be a selfishness that is dependent on God.
Right.
And so when we have that awareness of our dependence on God, then and only then is our selfishness a good thing. Because in that sense, we are taking as much as we can from God and giving as much of it as possible, because it never stops with us.
Right.
But if we don't depend on God for everything that we get as self, then nothing flows.
Right.
Everything becomes stuck with us.
Right.
I think that will be the only clarity that I will put with that statement that you shared with us.
I think that's very good that you brought that in, because what I said, I'm seeing how it can be taken in a different way.
Absolutely.
I'm not condoning selfishness.
And this is our feeling, right? We always want to balance it.
Yes. And, you know, people get burned. People have been hurt really bad because of this selfishness thing that we are talking about. So that's not where I'm talking about.
Correct.
But what I was actually referring to is what Dr. Joe clarified.
Yes. Self-dependence, I think, is more of, But, Sister Candace, for the sake of time, I want to share one more way or question or one more principle that we need to engage in order to be able to edit life. Mm-hmm. And that is learn from overcomers.
Okay.
Learn from overcomers. And whenever I talk about learning from overcomers, I always want to balance it by saying that you don't only learn from those who have won, but also learn from those who tried and failed.
Mm-hmm.
Or the better way to put it, I would say, is learn from those that you perceive did not get results. Mm. You know, my Christian brothers and sisters out there will talk about faith whenever we talk about learning from overcomers, because we overcome by faith, right? And faith is the substance of things hoped for. But whenever we talk about faith, in most instances, Sister Candace, what we are alluding to is getting results, believing God until we get results.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, faith is not just about getting results. There is another side of faith which has to do with obtaining a good report. Mm. I talked about it briefly last season, that when we have faith, it's not only for God to deliver us from what we are in, but also trusting that even if he doesn't deliver us out of them, we are his and he has the master plan. That truly is faith. So faith is twofold. Why am I talking about faith in relation to learning from overcomers? Because in order to edit life, you need to also recognize that building character is part of the editing. That life doesn't end here. There is a place that we ought to go. If you think that life ends here, then you undermine building character. You undermine building a good report. Because if you know that there is a place you have to go, then the report you carry with you matters. If you know that there is a different stage we have to go to, then it matters the report that you build. It doesn't only matter the results that you get.
Right.
And I truly hope that this makes sense to our audience, because Sister Candice is very, very important. If we refuse to learn from those who have gone before us, we will edit our life only to find out in the end that we only edited our life from the standpoint of getting results, as opposed to editing our life from the standpoint of both obtaining results and also getting a good report.
Right.
Either of this, Sister Candice, I submit to our audience, is an act of faith. Faith has wavered. The results we obtain and also the report that we get. If we don't have a healthy balance of this in our walk in life, we will spend so much time criticizing people for not getting results. Meanwhile, if we should truly look through the lens of faith, complete faith, I should say, we will realize that even though they did not get the things that they were promised, they still had a good report of walking faithfully with God.
Right.
Learning has to do with trust. You cannot learn when you don't trust. And so to learn from overcomers really has to do with trusting that God is at work. His grace exceeds your errors.
If
you have this mindset, then my audience, I assure you that in no time, you will be able to edit the script of your life for it to bring clarity and for it to make meaning to those who are reading it.
You know, that's very powerful when you brought in the trust aspect. I can't help but think about this scripture that says, trust the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, right? And, you know, it's taking me back to the hierarchy thing that you spoke about, because you said there is God, there is man, and there is others. So how does trust play a role in this hierarchy? You know, is there, what does that do for me when I trust God with the one that is above me, the hierarchy that is above me, trusting him with all of me, right? And how does that help my relationship to be extended to the flow of that, you know, that trend?
Yes, absolutely, Sister Candice. And I think there is actually one of our first ever recordings that we did together. You actually unlocked for us a very powerful mystery. Whenever we talk about trust, because trust is what maintains our relationship with God. But Sister Candice, as you helped us to find about some 3 years or 4 years ago, trust doesn't maintain our relationship with others. We trust God in order to love others. And that truly is how the hierarchy is maintained.
Wow.
You are not created to trust others. And the reason why we are not created to trust others is because we are not the main character in their story.
Oh, wow.
We are not.
They are. So you can't trust them with your life.
You can't trust them because if you trust in them, then you put in them in your story as the main character. You trust God because he wrote your script.
That's wild.
You trust that he will finish what he started.
Right.
And Sister Candice, the truth is that the foundational Bible scripture that I received for this topic of editing, talking about the power of choice, is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He says that, I am certain, I am convinced that he who started his good works in you will continue unto a successful end, which is where trust is. So what work did your neighbor begin in you for you to trust them to finish?
Do you have evidence? Disappointment upon disappointment.
Exactly. And so when we tend to bring trust into our relations with men or with others, that is where we get hurt. That's where we get disappointed. But trust is to the one who started his work in us, and that is God.
Yeah.
So you see how we fit right in the middle, and guess what? That is exactly where we belong.
Wow, it works out.
Exactly. It works perfectly out. Us right in the middle, with God being on top and others being beneath us.
Wow, that's so powerful. So powerful. And you know, my mind is just be going somewhere. But you know, with that, even with the hierarchy, I'm thinking about it, in its essence alone, it's also a script that must be followed, that must be contained. Like you said, you cannot change it. Just edit, just be in where you are, play your role, right?
Yes.
So that's very powerful. And I see everything that we've spoken about from the part one to now, I'm seeing how it all comes together.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It all comes together and it's so powerful. So, you know, Dr. Joy is on his clock, right? So we're going to end here and leave you guys for this week. Hour of Healing is every week. So if you're now joining us or joining, Hour of Healing is every week. So be sure to tune in and don't forget to share the love, share the knowledge. Don't keep it to yourself. Remember, we spoke about the selfishness, right? When you receive, you have to extend it. And that is the only way selfishness works for our gain. So I will hand it over to Dr. Joe as he wraps us up for today.
Yes, thank you so much, Sister Candace. And thank you, dear audience, for staying with us through this recording. And we have been talking about editing, the power of choice. And you realize that based on our conversation, we have a very pivotal role to play in the script of our life. Because, dear audience, the truth is, the script that God wrote for each and every one of our lives ought to be read by others. But they will not read what God wrote. They read how we edit.
Right.
So it is our role to make sure that we are staying with him so we can edit appropriately to reveal the purpose that he wrote the script for. And it's in only doing that that people will begin to see the craftsmanship and the awesomeness of the God that you and I have come to believe and pray that others believe as well. So thank you so much for joining us this week on our conclusion of the topic editing. The power of choice. We will come to you next week, as we mentioned, with the principles of self-examination. I can't wait. God bless you. See you same time next week. Bye-bye.